Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Hebrews chapter number 2 in the Word of God today. Hebrews chapter number 2 in the Word of God today. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we're going to start back in a series very soon that we've been in. And we're looking at Heroes of the Faith. And over January, decided to take a little bit of a break from that. And we've been looking at a subject now, Hold Fast. And these are principles in the new year. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at preparing for 2022 and kind of the last Sunday there, heading into really this renovated life, you and I running our race, you and I getting ready for this new year, kind of setting some spiritual goals and being ready to really just serve our Abba Father through this next year. Then we begin to look at the subject of the best year ever and not carrying over some things that maybe we carried over from 2021, letting some things go. And you and I understand that we're living life, and we're in a race, and as a good runner, we're not going to take a backpack full of things that we absolutely do not need. And the same is true in our spiritual life. There are things that you and I don't need to carry over. There's some things we do need to let go. And as Jesus said, look, cast all your burdens upon me, for I care for you. And casting those things on God and letting Him have them. And then over the last several weeks, we've been looking at this subject of really, watch now, holding fast. And this is found here in Hebrews chapter number 2. So as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if your health allows you to. If you can't, that's all right. You just stay seated. But would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says this here in Hebrews chapter number 2. And verse number 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Remember now, we've been saying this, it's tuning in to the things which we have heard. We've said this the last 2 weeks, this president's of, look, you've got to give the more earnest heed. You've got to tune in. We're not gathered here at church today just to preach. We got it in, got our four hymns in. We heard a special, pastor let out on time. Boom, we're out of here. No. We're giving the more earnest heed. We're learning. We're applying. We're making applicable these things that God has given us from His Word for you and I to hold on to. It says this. It says, verse number 2, give the more earnest heed the thing which we have heard, lest, okay, because, watch now, lest at any time we should let them slip. Remember now, we've been talking about things that we have to hold fast to. We talked about, first of all, holding fast to our Savior. Number one, our Savior 2 weeks ago. That in an upside-down world, in a world that you and I live in, where it's crazy, and man, sickness is here, politics is crazy, news is crazy, sports is crazy. I mean, we live really in 2022. It's some exciting times, friends. But we live in an upside-down world. If there's one thing we ought to hold fast to, is our Savior. Because our Savior is always that constant. How many are saved today? Would you say amen? That means this, you said amen, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That means this, when the time comes, and we all have this in common, I don't mean to be morbid today, but all of us have one thing in common, that's this, we're going to die one day. You don't have to say amen right there. You don't even have to be happy about it, okay? But all of us at one time or another, this is what we have in common, we are going to leave this world behind. I happen to believe that God is going to return, and His return is imminent, and it's very soon. How many believe the Lord's coming back very soon? Would you say amen? I mean, really, what we're looking at in the next couple years, next couple days, next couple minutes. I might not have to finish this sermon. Like, I mean, God could come back. He's coming back. He's our constant. In an upside-down world, you and I have something that is always stable. It's not a roller coaster. It's not not a merry-go-round. It's not crazy. No. Our God is always there. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You and I will have friends that leave us, forsake us. We have people that will hurt us. We have people that backstab us. But I am thankful that although you and I have failed God, He has never failed us. Are you thankful for that day? Say amen. We've seen, first of all, our Savior, but then secondly, we looked last week, we got to hold fast to our balance. Hold fast to our balance. Number two, that balance that we see of living a balanced life. The Bible says that a false balance is an abomination, but a just weight is His delight. A life that is balanced is living a life as Christ is our Savior, taking then the Holy Spirit and taking the Word of God and living with this as our final authority. Not getting way out there on this grace kick, or we could do and act to it however we want. Too, we learned last week that you and I can choose to sin. We've given a free will. You and I are not robots. No, God has given us a mind. He's given us desires. But you and I, if we desire and we choose to indulge ourselves in those desires, those sin, you and I can choose that, but we cannot choose our consequences. And there's consequences to sin, friend. There's consequences to rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not my favorite message to preach on hell and all the pastors and missionaries that we have in here today. It's not a message that you just love and click your ears like, woohoo, I get to preach on hell today. No, no, it's a very dark and honestly, it's almost a depressing subject to preach about. But friend, as God has given us the Word of God, may we never run away from what thus saith the Lord. And we have to be reminded today that you reject His Son, there are consequences, and that consequence is separation from Jesus Christ in a place called hell for all of eternity. We got to have that balance, and we got to understand that we can accept Him as our personal Savior, and we can live our lives. We don't work for our salvation, but friend, we work because of our salvation. That balance in our life. The Bible says to hold fast unto those things. The wording here is slip. It doesn't happen on purpose. It's an accident. I've used the illustration of a ring from a finger or a boat from a dock. It's something that you and I, it happens almost accidentally. I'm walking a little bit more, Jen, I'm trying to take after you, and I know we got others that got back problems in here. I'm walking a little bit stiff today, and you may see it. I feel good, and I'm okay, but I don't know what in the world happened, but I tweaked my lower back. And to be honest with you, I literally, y'all are going to laugh at this, I have no idea how I did it. I think I'm just getting old. You say, yeah, it's old. It's Indiana weather. It's cold, and it gets to you. Okay, whatever it is, it's ungodly, and I hate it. I hate my back not being able to. I sat on a stool this morning. I mean, I'm dying here. But, you know, comprehend this, that the word slip is kind of like that. When you and I go to lift, let's say, Brother Mel, come up here and we're gonna lift this, pulpit today. Come on, Matt, get up here and we're gonna lift this pulpit. Here's what we do. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna protect ourselves. Lift with your legs, and we're gonna be careful, and we're gonna watch your back, okay? You got it, okay? And what are we doing? We're watching. We understand, we comprehend. We do not want to hurt ourselves. Slip is kind of like me. When I'm lifting something heavy, I'm going to be prepared. You know, sometimes in life, though, stuff happens like you slip your back and you don't exactly know what happened. I remember when we were raising our twins, and I had both of our twins, and they were just little babies. And I was sitting there, and I'm rocking these little babies, and I went to get up. Have you ever done that? I'm not being careful. I went to get up, and something in my back just tweaked. Say, Pastor, you have back problems? I really don't, but these are two really great illustrations, so hang with me. And something in my back tweaked, and I wasn't ready for it. Yeah, that's how Satan works. When you're not ready, he's a roaring lion. And he's seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, we've got to be girded. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to lift. And physically, absolutely. But let me tell you something spiritually. Our Savior is that denominator, that core, that foundation that we have. And then because of that, we have balance. But this morning, for the next couple of moments, here's the subject that I want to concentrate on today. And that is simply this. Hold fast to, number three, the gospel. Number three, the gospel. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for Your word. Meet with us now. Savior, we love You. Lead, guide, and direct. Hide me behind the cross. Father, the glory is Yours today. Lord, even looking at these notes this morning, I myself begin to get convicted. God, we have our eyes on a lot of things, but I'm afraid, even in our good churches around the globe, we've begun to slip. And we've begun to let go of the very core, and that is the gospel. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that You'd give me the wisdom, that you would give me the boldness to say and preach and teach what needs to be taught and preached today. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is a walk that all of us desire to have in our lives. There is a walk that you and I have with our Abba Father. Part of that spiritual walk, part of that relationship with God, is you and I as Christians, watch now very carefully, telling others about what you and I have. What you and I have when we're saved, that means this: when we believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we have placed our trust in Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sins and to repent, we do a 180. The Bible says that at that moment, Christ redeems us. He saves us. At that moment, the Holy Spirit then baptizes us into salvation. You and I are saved. The Bible says that we are sealed. You and I have then a relationship with God. As you and I have that relationship with God, then you and I are going to have a walk with Him. A walk is you and I living with a relationship. It's not working for our salvation, but as I stated a moment ago, it is working because you and I are saved. The gospel then is really the completion. When we talk about the gospel, we can rationalize today that in 2022, in our culture, that nobody really wants the truth, or perhaps really that the gospel has grown cold, or that the society we live in, that no longer people want to hear it, that no longer people really are accepting of the gospel. We heard several men in this church. We were up at a meeting, and we heard that I can't remember the exact number, but it was around, I would have to ask some of the men that were there, but I think Pastor Dan was around 54%. We were given that statistic by Tom Rainier, that 54% of millennials after the pandemic is over will not return to church. Brother Roberto, is that right? Was it 54%? Do you remember exactly? Yes, okay, good. 54, 55, let's budget here a little bit. But let's just say, we can fudge a little bit, but around 54% would say this, that after the pandemic is over, whatever definition of pandemic you want to give it, after the pandemic is over, around 54% of millennials, which would be my category, that's what I am, are not going to return to church. And we were given this statistic as though, well, something's wrong with the millennials, and my goodness, a shame on the millennials, and they're not going to come back to church. I took it as this: what is wrong with the church that millennials aren't going to want to return from? What is it that we have so put on a facade and a show that there is a bulk of people out there that say, when the pandemic's over, we don't really need church. We don't need to meet. We don't need to congregate. We don't need to sing. We don't need to worship. We don't need to come together. We don't need to assemble. Understand this. We have got to rationalize today. That means this: we've got to think through that there is nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's not that people are not accepting of the truth. In fact, Jesus said it like this. He's the one that said, the fields are white unto harvest. That means you and I have a job to do. It's not that the world has turned from truth. It's not that the world is not accepting of Jesus or of the slain lamb or of the Lion of the tribe of Judah or of this Bible or of congregating today. I'm telling you, friend, what is the problem is today is this. For too long, we have played church, we have entertained, and we've come to this point that, you know what, let's just live our life however we want to. And well, by grace, as we talked about last week, well, grace covers it all. And you know what, I'll fit into my schedule, church, if sports isn't in the way, and if my grandkids is in the way, and if it's kind of a nasty day and we can't be on the lake or out hiking, then we'll kind of get there. And to be honest with you, friend, even when we got there in many churches today, we don't hear the preaching of God's word. We don't hear what thus saith the Lord. We've got pastors that are sitting behind the pulpits today and they're tickling their ears. They're giving people what they want to hear and what they want to know. And friend, let me tell you, I love that too. And I love the milk of God's word. But let's be reminded today, there is a lot of meat in this word that you and I need to hear thundered from behind the pulpits in America today. We need it. And yet here we are with the gospel and we've come to this place where, well, we just, times have changed and, well, people don't want it anymore. May we end the days of gatherings of believers who actually believe the gospel, but they never emphasize it. Stop it. May we end the days of instructional messages that are not saturated in the gospel and what thus saith the Lord. We had to, and I preached a message on this back in the month of August on the gospel on a Wednesday night. And oftentimes we come to this place, we say, well, isn't the gospel just for unsaved people? No. Wrong. Understand, friend, that we have to change our thinking. It was Kerry Schmidt, a pastor up north, that said that there should be no dichotomy or polarization between speaking to believers and unbelievers, for the same message that saves the new believer also sanctifies the growing believer. That means this: the gospel that redeems us by faith reshapes us by grace. Believers need the gospel just as much as unbelievers. May we stop living this life that, well, the gospel's not important, and we stop living this life. I'm prayed up on this message. I am not in the flesh at all, but I think to this morning, visitors or not, we have to get down to the nitty-gritty, because I am so afraid, as a semi-young pastor preaching in the Indianapolis area, that we are letting things slip as a church, as a congregation, as a family, and churches, even good independent fundamental Baptist churches around the globe, we are not getting back to what God has commissioned you and I to do, and that is to be centered not around entertainment, not around by who can sing the best, not around who gets this job and who gets to do what, and living a debt-free and having a big campus and an awesome basketball court. No, may you and I be centered and focused on the very gospel of Jesus Christ, because, friend, it is not CNN or Fox News or politics, or it's not going to be the CDC that changes lives in this area, but it's going to be the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's only the gospel that's going to change us. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, now watch very carefully. If you're taking notes today, yeah, I'm going to jump around just a little bit, so it's going to be a little bit hard, and I do apologize, but I don't apologize. So check out this verse, Proverbs chapter 11. It says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now watch what it says. And he that winneth souls is wise. How many by a raise of hand would like to say or desire and say, I would like to be a wise person? I don't care if you're 90 years old or you're 9 years old. You just say, if you don't want to be a wise person, you just keep your hand down, okay? But if you overflow, look at me. You say, I really like to be a wise person, okay? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Raise it high. Raise your hand. Good, good. Amen. Put your hand down. How many say this? Nah, I want to be a fool. Yeah, bring it on. I want to be a fool right now. Raise your hand. Tommy, do not raise your hand. I want to be a fool. I want to be a fool here. Okay, nobody's going to raise their hand. Come on. No, none of all of us say, yeah, whatever it is, I desire to be wise in situations and circumstances of life. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. It's why Jesus was here. It was his mission on earth. His mission was not to change politics. His mission was not to doctor people up. His mission was not just to be here to have a good time. His mission was not to grow a massive ministry. No, his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. And those that he brought with him, those that he had, those that he wanted to work with on a one-on-one basis, that's why we call it discipleship. The very reason he took those men with him was for the very same mission and for the very same reason. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 17, and he said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you, check it out, to become fishers of men. Jesus says, come. That means this: he has a purpose for you and I. And you and I who have accepted him today, here is what he is saying to you and I, living in this culture, in this society, in the Hendricks or Marion County area of Indianapolis, here is what he is telling us. He is inviting you and I to come. He is inviting you and I to find identity and to find purpose in the very gospel that he has given and ingrained into our hearts. But you and I, we must have have, are you ready for this? We must have a desire. A desire. Not everybody has to agree with what I'm just about to say, and I'm not here to argue over this, but I am afraid in many churches that even I was a part of. I grew up in North Carolina, Alabama. I was born in Tennessee, but my entire life is spent in the South. I am afraid oftentimes, watch very carefully, that in our churches, oftentimes what we had was this push of you need to, you need to, you need to, until we finally took it on our heart that, we have to. And can I put it this way? There is a major difference in have to and the desire of want to. Hold on, let me say it again. There is a massive difference in have to and want to. Every one of us has a desire. Ask any 10-year-old, do you want to clean your room or do you have to clean your room? Every 10-year-old's going to say, I have to. Why? Because, well, my mom and dad said so. There's a major difference between that same 10-year-old and say, do you want to go to Six Flags or do you want to go to Disney World or do you have to? And all of them say, ooh, sign me up. When are we going? I'll get in. I'll pack. Let's do this thing. I want to. There is a desire that must take place. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, among whom also we had our conversation in times past for the lust of the flesh, watch this very carefully, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, are you ready for that? And of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We comprehend that the flesh desires things. For any lady in here who has ever been pregnant before, and my wife has been pregnant several times, we have 5 kids that we're raising, and can I just say this? When a woman is pregnant, and I can't explain all the hormones and everything, but I'll tell you this, women desire in their flesh to eat some really weird things. By your laughter, I see that you agree with me. It wasn't just my wife that wanted whatever, honey, you wanted at the time. I do remember you got on a mint chocolate chip with something weird, like chips and salsa. It was like chips and salsa with mint chocolate chip. And I'm going all over the place trying to find these things. Like, honey, aren't you worn out on this yet? No, this is what I crave. I'm like, girl, yes, that's what you get, okay? You're doing it for 9 months. I'll do my part and go get the chips and salsa. But nonetheless, there's that craving that you and I have. All of us have a desire. Men, some of you have a desire to go hunt. Ladies, you have a desire to go shop or whatever. We have a desire to get out and to watch the game today. I guess all of our teams, the Colts, everybody's out. But nonetheless, you might have a desire to watch whatever other team is in there. And we'll have a desire to do something. But what about spiritually? What is our desire spiritually? The psalmist put it this way. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you and I desire to tell others about the saving power of the gospel? Do you and I have a desire to lead someone to Christ? Listen, being a soul winner is not all about head knowledge. The greatest soul winner could say, well, I've got the whole Romans road memorized, and boy, I could just shake them through, and boy, I can up Romans 1 and then 3, and I can lead them to 6, and I can lead them to 9, and boy, I've got all the verses memorized. That's good, and that's great. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. That's not a waste of your time at all. But can I tell you this? What good is memorizing verses if you and I never share it? What good is the gospel to this area if we only keep it in here? What good is praise and worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords if it's us four and no more? Cross Point Baptist Church is never going to thrive or to be the church that it can be unless you and I personally get a desire to share with someone the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ that came and died and was buried, and he's the only one, check it out now, who has ever defeated death. And he defeated death not just to show off, no, he defeated death for you and for me, and he shed his blood on the cross, and that blood that was shed was the perfect Lamb of Calvary. There doesn't have to be another sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice already shed his blood, and he gave it for you and for me, and it's free to accept. And once we accept him, check it out now, we have it for all of eternity, forever. God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give it to you and take it back. No, he gave it to you. It's yours. You get to keep it. And I get to keep it. No man, no principality, no one can pluck you and I out of the hand of God. It's his. Well, I've been a bad person and I've sinned. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here today because we all have. It gets awful quiet. We're like, well, not really. It's been quite a few years. Well, you go ahead and just be built up in your pride. You just sinned. We're all sinners. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm asking us today, family, do we have a desire to tell others? I'm going to ask us today, in the last 7 days, who have we told about him? In the last 7 days, have we gotten serious? I'm not talking about a soul winning push. And I'm afraid so often what we've done is, well, we gather on Sunday mornings or Thursday nights or Pastor Phil, I'm not sure when you did it here, but I grew up at the same churches. It was a Thursday night and it was a Saturday morning. And it was almost like we did this duty. Like, well, I went out for an hour and I passed out some tracts to a couple doors and I knocked and nobody was home. So, oh, good. That's good. That's it. I did my duty. We're done. Crosspoint, thank you so much. I'll see you next week. Let me tell you something, friend. The gospel is so much more than knocking a couple doors or checking off a duty or going through one track a day and that's it. No, the gospel is supposed to be lived in the life of you and I so that when others see our light, when others see our lives, when others see our kids, when others see our marriages, when others see the life that you and I are living, they desire to have what you and I have. And it's not because of us. It's not what we've done. It's not look at me. No, you and I can say the peace that I have and the grace that I have and the life that I have and the marriage that I have is not about me and myself and what I've done. No, it is all about Jesus Christ, the one who saved me, the one who keeps working in my life. And then you and I get to share, hey, check it out. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to grow up in Indiana. You don't have to grow up in the South. You don't have to have a perfect resume. You don't have to have a perfect family tree. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're whosoever means this, and means anybody and everybody, you and I, we can accept the perfect grace of Jesus. And at that moment he said, I'll save you. And then we ought to have a desire, check it out, have a desire to share that with others. Well, Pastor, that sounds, oh, my back is so hurt. Oh, Pastor, that sounds so great. And oh, yeah, thank you for that. And, oh, I cannot even sit like this. Oh, Pastor, that sounds so good. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's for somebody else. Oh. So that's the card we're going to play now? Thank you. I'm just a visitor here. I've been saved, yes, but I don't go to church here, so I'm off the hook, right? Not really. Yeah, but I've only been saved for so long, and to be honest with you, I'm not so sure about all the verses. Like, what's the Romans Road? Never heard of that. What is that all about? I think I'm excluded, right? Now, whose responsibility is it? You see, you and I have been given a command. You ready for this? That command is simply two letters. Go. Like, go. Our purpose is to obey God's purpose for our life. That desire that we now have to share with others what God has done in our life, now we've been commissioned to go. Well, who's commissioned? Well, in the book of Acts, it's the churches. It's you and I. The Bible says, go and stand and speak in the temple to all the people. Watch now, all the words of this life. You see, as a pastor at Crosspoint Baptist Church, there is this massive weight. There is something that only those who have pastored, Pastor Defoe and Pastor Fitzgerald, Pastor Dan, and others in this room that are visiting here with us, that we can kind of comprehend. That one day we will stand and we're going to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has bestowed upon us as an under-shepherd. We are stewards. I don't own Crosspoint Baptist Church. I am called to preach, and God is using me. Check it out now, even though my last name's Shepherd, just kind of works out. But I am not the shepherd or the great shepherd, although to my wife I am. I'm not the great shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. And I've been commissioned to speak the whole counsel of God. Let me tell you something, friend. You ask any pastor who preaches the whole counsel of God, it's not always easy. Pastor, I'd love to stand up here and just say, God is good and God is great. You're accepted. Let's get out of here. Culver's, here we come. Some of you are like, well, sign me up. I'll go to that church. But I have to preach the whole counsel of God. You know the whole counsel of God is? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I can accept him and spend eternity with him for all of eternity, or you can deny him, you can walk out those doors, you can reject him. And the Bible is clear that if you leave this world behind, I don't care how good person you were, I don't care how many God's little g you believed in, I don't care how many times you attended church or how much money you put in the offering plate, he said, I'm going to tell you one day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you, the Bible is very clear, who have not accepted him, listen, this is not fun, but this is truth. We'll spend an eternity in a place called hell that was built for the devil and his angels, watch it now, for all of eternity. You can't sugarcoat that. That's Bible. Fun? No. But while you and I are over here and talking about this and that, there are hundreds, if not thousands, in this surrounding area that will spend an eternity with Satan. And we had no desire to share him with them. Well, then, Pastor, I guess the responsibility is yours. Good luck with that. I'm glad I wasn't called to preach. Glad I'm not standing behind that pulpit. No, the Bible's very clear that it's our responsibility. You and I have been commissioned. The Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone, listen now, you and I will stand before him one day. And when you and I begin to comprehend, listen now, watch, this is so important. When you and I begin to realize and understand that there is a heaven and there is a place called hell, you and I don't have a real good taste in our mouth for the pettiness of this life. You and I don't want to get involved in the nitty-gritty. You and I don't want to be involved and get bogged down in what the Christians get involved in and bogged down in today. Let me tell you something, friend. Why many of Christians are battling back and forth over what songs to sing, and whether chairs or have pews, or whether I have gray walls or black walls or brown walls or white walls. Let me tell you this, why everyone is involved in these worship and church wars today of you versus me and Hatfield McCoy, and I'm sitting on this side, you're sitting on this side. Can I remind us today that there is a place called heaven and there is a place called hell and there is a thing called the gospel, and it came straight from God and it's for everyone in this area. May you and I never get bogged down with the muck of this world arguing over really who cares. No, friend, may we be centered around the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because once again, friend, it's the only thing that's going to change this area. If you're with that today, would you say amen? It's the only thing that's going to change this area. I think at times we hear a message like this, and like, oh yeah, it's good preaching, pastor. Yeah, it's good, but I really want to share my heart for a moment and just say this. Then what are we going to do? Hold on, church. God is speaking to us in this moment. I'm going to ask us, what are we going to do? We have a lot of ministries at Crosspoint. This is just my heart. We have a lot of ministries here at Crosspoint. And God has been so good to us. He continues to be good to us, and man, I am so thankful for what he's doing. I'm thankful for the souls that are saved. I'm thankful for now 5 families this next month that have said they want to come and they want to join Crosspoint Baptist Church. I'm thankful for those getting baptized. Austin, on the very first week of this year, getting baptized. Look, how many are thankful for what God's doing? Say amen. Amen. Hold on. Friend, did you and I realize that we can get so caught up in the ministries that we lose sight of what we're really supposed to be doing? I began to pray and seek God this past week and had a very deep conversation with my wife. And I mean, we enjoyed some good fellowship around the Word of God. And we began to talk about that, you know, most of a ministry in this day and age, most of it, a massive percentage of it, is going to be wrapped or involved around taking care of the sheep that have already been saved. The discipleship, and then the counseling, and then the marriages splitting up, and then the teenagers that went astray, and then the person that doesn't like this color of this, and this person doesn't like that song written by that hymn writer, and then that person that, you know, this Bible verse, that Bible, and then this person. That's all of a sudden, a lot of ministry gets wrapped up and involved in not the gospel. And I wonder one day, Christian, if we're going to get to heaven, and we've been involved in a lot of things. Man, I love our school. Teachers, I love every single one of you, and I'm so thankful for you. But can I put it this way? Cross Point Baptist Church is not here just to get kids through ABCs and 1-2-3s. We're so much more than that. Let me tell you something, friend. We're not here just simply to, oh, let's get together, Titus, let's fellowship. Let's build a coffee shop. Let's get out there, have some coffee, and man, you get your flavor, and man, we'll go in. Look, is coffee good? Yes. I mean, I think coffee is of God. He created the beans, didn't he? So look, I'm all for coffee. But let me tell you this. Cross Point Baptist Church is so much more than a coffee shop. For every deacon in here, deacons, you and I comprehend that life is so much more than just trying to pat everybody and get them around and get along. Let's come together. Let's do it. And rah, rah, rah. Let's keep going. God's coming back. Next thing you know, it's the same 300 people 5 years from now if God hasn't come back. And we're all just still patting each other on the back like, you coming to the game? Did you watch the game? Was the game good? Is the game good? Let me tell you something, friend. Life is so much more than sports. Life is so much more than education. Life is so much more than climbing a corporate ladder. Life is so much more than arguing over the little nuances of today. Let me tell you something. This life is built for so much more. And Jesus Christ has given us that life. And he has allowed that light to shine through you and me. And my question is today, what are we going to do with it? Well, Pastor, we need more soul winning times. Okay, how about this? You ready for this? I'm gonna create a new soul winning time for everybody. Let's just, Nicole, if you write this down, put in the calendar if you would, please. Here's our brand new soul winning times for Cross Point Baptist Church. Those of you watching via live stream, you can't be here today, mark your calendar because I want you to be involved as well. So here we go. Here's the new soul winning times. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. Oh, you're being sneaky, are you, Pastor? Yeah, sure am. Some of you are getting your pen out like, well, here we go. Family, we will be there. I see what you did there. Nothing happens until you and I go. Nothing happens until you and I are serious about the gospel. I remember being 8 years old, 9, 10, somewhere right in there, just a young man. And I'll never forget my dad was making a deal with a farmer. He bought a turkey farm, and I think it was just I've given that illustration before. I think it was just to help us kids learn how to work. And 20,000 turkeys, 3 barns that were like 400 feet long, and 20,000 turkeys we were raising for some time. And I'll never forget with this old farmer. His name was Mr. Curry. I'm not even sure his first name, but Mr. Curry, I'll never forget. Looked like Santa Claus, big old beard. He always had a pipe in his mouth. In fact, his white beard was stained from the tobacco, always had a pipe in his mouth. And I remember my dad and Mr. Curry shook hands on buying that farm. That's how they agreed, two men. They shook hands. No paperwork, no, here's how we're going to do it. Dad bought that farm right in front of me. I watched it happen. Dad cleared some land. I'll never forget this. Dad cleared some land. Dad was a businessman. Dad owned Royal Healthcare. He was for many, many years CEO and just an incredible businessman. I remember Dad, there's two men that came, and these men were sitting there, and they were going to clear some logs for my dad. And again, I was with Dad, and I'm walking around. I'm listening to these guys, and I didn't realize it then. People didn't cuss the way that they do nowadays. It's like every other word's a cuss word, but these men were some rough men, but Steve, and they man, they were cussing like crazy. I mean, just cussing. I was a little kid. I probably didn't even understand all the words that were coming out of their mouth, but it bothered my dad. And I said, hey, guys, yeah, we're going to get these dogs scared. Can you be careful of the language? My son's right here, and that offends my God. Amen. One of those men said, oh, who's your God? And I will never forget as a little kid watching my dad over the next 45 minutes to an hour share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right there on that property, in I think it was Cabarrus County, North Carolina, those men got on their knees and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it affected me. I said Wednesday I was witnessing to a man right down here at Prime Car Wash. I believe he's going to get saved, and I believe he's going to come. And I looked around several times to see if he's here, and he's not. Him and his wife are going to come. We began to talk, and he began to say something that was going to be offensive, I felt like, towards churches. And so I interrupted real quick, interjected, and I said, hey, just to let you know, I'm actually the pastor at Cross Point. I've talked to this man, Brother Leroy, many times. Many times. And I said, hey, I'm the pastor at Cross Point. It looked at me, and he said, how come you never told me that? George, I'm telling you, I was convicted. It hurt me. But Dennis, for all these times I saw that man, I never told him about my Savior. We talked sports in Alabama many times. But I never told him about my God. And if he would have died, his blood would have been upon my hands. And I'm not okay with that. I got my car and I wept. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. God began to place in my heart this message for me. I don't want to play pastor. I don't want to play church. I want to lift the gospel. And friend, this area is primed and ready for it. It's white. At the YMCA, at the Kroger, at the Walmart, at the Target, playing field, it's white. It's ready to harvest. We've been commissioned to go. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Today, I want to invite all of us, friend, to do something about it. And that's to start this morning by saying, God, I want to live the gospel. In my busy life, I've let it slip. I've been so concentrating on saving for vacation and climbing the ladder and getting my car washed that I let it slip. And today, God, I want to tell you no more. I desire. I want to share with others what you've done for me.